Right, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff, very much. Last Sunday, I was up at Christchurch Fulwood, one of our sister churches, and they told me and asked me if I would bring you the greetings from the brothers and sisters up the road there. So that's exactly what I do. I bring you the greetings of brothers and sisters up at Christchurch Fulwood. As we come to this section in our series, God, Work and the Gospel, and today we're looking at balance between work and rest. I just want to say that I have no silver bullet in terms of the practical outworking of the command today. What I want to do is to lay some principles out, and then, as has already been said, we've got a Q&A time, discussion time, and together we can figure out a little bit more of the practical side of it as well, which of course will differ for each of us, but it's important, I think, to understand the principles and the motivations as well between getting a good balance in our lives between work and our social times. This thing is slowly keeling over on its own. So there we go. There was a survey was taken a couple of years ago of various, across church folks basically, and British people in particular. And they discovered actually British people on average do a lot more hours per week than anyone else in Europe. Okay, we are amongst the most hard-working people, as it were, in Europe. And as I understand it, when some of the stuff was going through for changing for work hours, some of the fear in other parts of the European community was British values being foisted onto everybody else, and everyone else having to work as long hours as they do in Britain. Normally, we in Britain seem a little bit fearful of the rest of Europe. But in actual fact, when it comes to working hours, and working all the hours that God gives us, then, in fact, the rest of Europe are a little bit fearful of our practices in this country. And a number of quotes came out of that survey, quoting people's comments after they'd asked the various questions, and people just basically saying things like this: I'm very, very busy. I'm tired at home and snappy with everyone. Balancing work in family relationship, there's just not enough time. The fact is that we need two incomes in order to survive. At times I feel so tired. Those were the kind of phrases that came through with that survey. So the fourth commandment that we're looking at today in relationship to balance actually does speak right into our context, okay? And I think it's a word in season for us all. I look back over Christchurch Central being nearly 10 years old, and there are times, there are particular phases in our church's life when I've been doing a lot more hours than junior doctors did in the olden days. Okay, the two or three first years of the church's life, the year before starting, I worked huge hours. The phase of preparing us to plant another church and seeing us go through that time, I put huge hours in. So I know what it's like to look over the edge of the precipice, the consequences of working far too hard and not having enough time rest. And Tanya is downstairs running the ripples down there, and you can ask her what a pain in the neck it is to live with me. Crofty said earlier on, with the help of Scott's the puppet, miles a day helps you work, rest and play. And that's where I've built my little talk around today. Three things. God's gift of the Sabbath, his command for the Sabbath, helps us work. It's about rest and some reasons why. So first of all, work 6 days. This is a command, and it would be helpful actually if you turn back to Exodus chapter 20. We can look at Exodus 20 and then back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Exodus chapter 20, page 73 in the Church Bibles. It is, first of all, a command to work hard for 6 days. God not only tells us to remember the Sabbath day, the rest day, but actually to work hard the rest of the week. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. What kind of work is being referred to? Well, I think anything that we think of as work. So paid employment, homework, housework, studies, all the normal duties of just actually operating our lives, I think comes into that section of work. And we're to work hard for those 6 days of the week. It is basically a command not to be lazy. It is a command to graft for 6 days. I think also it is a command for us, if we can just think of the implications a little bit more widely, to think out the box and to be obedient to God and to be godly in finding work to do. If, for example, we're made unemployed. Or if we are in a work that has its seasons and its moments. So if we are in a low season for our particular kind of work that we do in paid employment, and maybe it's a business we run ourselves, to actually think, well, how else could I be employed during this couple of months? Is there things I could be doing for other members of the church family? Is there voluntary work I can be doing? So we had someone in our house earlier this week who's in a particular lower season, and they're very good around the house and doing various things and building stuff and putting stuff together. And this person came around and did some odd jobs around our house during a low season. I think that is this command to work to work hard for those 6 days. But it is a command not to be lazy. There are all sorts of humorous comments abound about being lazy, aren't there? How agreeable it is to do nothing and then rest afterwards. The problem with doing nothing is that you don't know when you're finished. I can run with those ones. The Bible, however, really makes some very, very strong comments against being lazy. It thinks of laziness as bad as vandalism, actually. You know, what's your reaction when you come across a vandalised bus stop? And you go, they're really antisocial, aren't they? So the proverb actually puts laziness alongside the vandal. He who is slack, lazy in his work, is brother to him who destroys. Lazy in your work, you're as bad as a vandal. The lazy person, the vandal, are from the same family. They're brothers. That's the implication of that proverb. They're both antisocial and ultimately both destructive. I think that's what's being said. God calls us to be like him, to work and to be creative. Verse 11 of Exodus 20. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and so we are to be like him. It may be that some of us need to hear this side of the command to work hard for 6 days. It may well be we need to take on board that thing the commoner said about being creative in a low season for ourselves, or in unemployment, or students. We've got some students with you. You're looking at a very long summer holiday, and it's coming soon, isn't it? I know some of that Hallam seems to end just after Easter and don't come back till just before Christmas. I'm joking, but you know what I mean. It's going to say, well, actually, how do I act like my God in those long, long months? And so, yes, we need to hear that. But I think most of us in this room, the type of people we are, our demographic, I think it's the other side, actually, is our bigger concern and what we need to be hearing to actually take the rest day. I think we need to hear that loud and clear. So work 6, rest 1 day. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Just look at that word that it begins with again. Remember. Remember. That is, God assumes in this commandment that we're likely to forget. And you come along today and you know the Ten Commandments and you think, oh, the Finn minister is telling me things I already know. Yeah, well, God tells us stuff we already know. He reminds us of stuff which we already know in our minds and, yes, even in our hearts. But sometimes we forget in the practice of our lives. Remember. Let's not forget. Remember the Sabbath day. Sabbath literally and very simply means rest. So remember to rest is what it's saying. Remember to rest. Verse 8, by keeping the Sabbath day holy. What does that mean? How does it mean to keep the rest day holy? Does it mean going to church? Does it mean praying? Does it mean singing hymns? Does it mean listening to sermons? Now, the only explanation actually in the command itself is the way you keep it holy is, verse 10, on it you shall not do any work. You keep it holy by not working. And you make sure that no one in your sphere of responsibility works as well. So that's how you keep it holy. Or your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, all the sojourner within your gates. Make sure that those that you're responsible for, that you've got a leadership role amongst, they don't work either. Set them an example. And ensure that they're blessed with not working as well. So, Kit Kat was quoted earlier on, simply resting, take a break, have a Kit Kat. Kit Kat's actually now producing Wi-Fi free zones in city centres to force city dwellers to relax. Having lost the fight on Keep Sunday Special, we now have Kit Kat saying, well, let's try and find some other ways to do the zones. And you think, we're idiots, aren't we, as human beings sometimes? We chuck in one thing and then someone else realises, yes, this is important, this actually helps my marketing as well. So let's go and put some Wi-Fi free zones into cities so that people are forced to take a break and have a Kit Kat. We do all rest in different ways, don't we? But I think this is a really good command. And it's a command that we foolishly, foolishly so often disobey and forget. For one day of the week, we down tools, we put down our pens, we switch off our mobiles, and we turn off our laptop, and we don't switch it on again. And we take time out. And we don't have to feel guilty. If someone's trying to contact me on my day off, I do not have to feel guilty that they don't make it through. That doesn't mean that we should be Pharisees. So if someone does manage to make it through and contact, for example, Paul on his day off, he's not going to be a Pharisee and hear that, your horse or your cow has fallen down a well and think, well, I'm not going to come and help, it's my Sabbath. No. We're going to be Pharisees about it. No, we shouldn't be Pharisee about it. We don't feel guilty about actually being out the loop, being away from the office. One day of the week, we don't feel guilty about not working, and I think that is great. It's the pattern that actually follows all the way through. I think just come back to that in just a moment, a little bit more. But the call is to remember. Don't forget the rest day. And I think therein lies the problems that we do forget as we fill up our diaries. And the rest day simply gets forgotten. I'll never forget one of our trustees saying to me, one of our trustees is now resigned and moved on to other things, saying to me about a year after we had started Central, he said, have you got your diary with you? I said, yeah. And he said, do you mind me having a look? And I had a look and he said, yeah, I notice you don't have time with Tanya and with the children in your diary. So I said, well, that's my work diary. He said, unless it's in there, it'll get a lower priority. Someone might be looking over your shoulder and saying, well, look, you can meet then. And you say, oh, yeah, that is, no, that's when I should be with Tanya. But, you're already onto a loser. So put it in there. It doesn't have to be day off with Tanya. Just say, have code in there of some sort that tells you. And then someone else doesn't know it. They just know you're busy. And it was a very, very wholesome and a very, very helpful thing. We so fill up our diaries that we just forget the rest day. It simply gets forgotten and drops down the priority list. Work 6 days, rest one. Why? Why should we take a 1 day rest per week? Well, two very simple reasons. The first one is in the commandments here in Exodus 20. The next one is in the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look at verse 11 of Exodus 20. Why? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The first reason God gives us to take a rest is his created order. Just as in the count of creation God worked 6 days and rested one, so should we. We are to be like God and in this and follow the natural pattern, the natural godly pattern that he has established. And it's there each day actually. As the world spins, we have day and we have night. During the day we work and during the night we rest. Or we're supposed to. Psalm 104 says this, verses 22-23. The sun rises, man goes to his labour. To his work, until evening, when the sun sets. And so we work during the day and we rest during the night. But do we? Some of us burn the candle at both ends. And we have the phrase, don't we, burning the midnight candle, or the midnight oil. Since that phrase was first coined, we don't have oil. We have this stuff called electricity. And you can just flick it on at any time. And you can make your house as bright and as light as an airport at any time of the day. And we can just work all through the night. And we've got email and whatever. And people we might be connecting with on the other side of the planet. Well, if the daytime for them, who cares? If it's nighttime for us, we can be emailing each other. We can be having Skype conversations and doing a whole load of stuff at any time of the day and any time of the night. So we do genuinely work all hours. And some cities like New York are called 24-hour cities, aren't they? And never go to sleep. We go there and we get excited about being in this vibrant place. Live there for a while, I reckon you'd be dead in your feet. I found it really valuable, actually, nearly 2 weeks in Kenya again. And even Nairobi, just having cutouts of electricity. Boom, everything goes. That's it. Get the candle lit. Can't do any reading. I might as well go to bed. It's just great. Perhaps we should have some more electricity cutouts here. God in creation has given us a daily, and he's given us a weekly cycle, and there's even an annual cycle as well. Seed time and harvest. It's time to plough. Time to let the stuff just grow, and a time to get to go and harvest it. And it's there for our good, and that is great. Work 6 days, rest one. Why? Because of creation. It is a godly thing to do. A couple of weeks ago, thinking about our image of God is displayed as we work. Your image, my image of God, is displayed how we rest. And we don't give, or we don't show the image of God. If we're always working, something's gone wrong. He took 6 days to create the world, and he rested one. So that's the first reason, creation. Second, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the second reason here is salvation. Page 180 in the church Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. You shall remember that you were slaves. This is the reason given in this set of the Ten Commandments. That you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day, the rest day. So taking the rest day was a sign that the people of Israel were saved people. They had been slaves, now they were saved. They were rescued from God's slavery in Egypt, and they were going to the promised land, and the way that the promised land is described is all supposed to bring echoes and memories of Garden of Eden, you know, land flowing with milk and honey, a land of abundance, the land Deuteronomy actually calls the land of rest. And so taking a rest day, it's a little bit like wearing a football scarf or wearing a political party rosette that states, I'm on this side or that side. So taking the rest day is actually saying, I'm one of God's people. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a saved person. I've been rescued for rest. I'm going to the land of rest. I'm living in the land of rest. And as the Bible unfolds, even though God's people occupied the promised land, we find that they never did actually ultimately enter their rest. They were always having some battle, some fight with somebody. The Philistines, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, Psalm 95 looked forward to another rest. The land flowing with milk and honey was a picture and pointed to this other rest, which is picked up in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 picks up Psalm 95 and says that this rest is still open to us. God invites us to share in his rest. Just as in the Old Testament, God's people were rescued from the land of slavery and judgment and brought into the land of rest, the land flowing with milk and honey, so God invites us to be rescued from judgment through trusting Jesus, his gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and so entering into a relationship with God that ultimately leads to heaven, which Revelation 14:13 talks about as rest, the place of rest. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. This is the Spirit's words. Want to listen to the Spirit? The Spirit says this, they will what? They will rest from their labor. That's what we're heading towards as Christians. And I want to say this, that's where Steve Tynan is. Rest. Rest from the strain and the pressure and the agony and the pain. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more loss. That is his privilege right now. And let's carry on praying for the family. I'm meeting with some of them tomorrow morning to think about Friday. Pray that they know and have the assurance of this rest in their heart. That's where we're heading. Backtrack, that's why we take a rest day now, to say, I actually believe that there's more to life than to here. Now, if we just work, 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 we're really thinking, well, this is all there is. All there is for what I will gain from my work. No. Take a rest day. It's a great sign to our own hearts, a great sign to everybody else that we believe in heaven and that we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, to bring us to that resurrection rest. His resurrection guarantees our rest in heaven. So that's the day off we take, basically Sunday. It's a resurrection day. The Old Testament, they took Saturday, the Sabbath day. And as Christians gathered to meet in the early church, they decided to no longer meet on the Saturday, but to meet on what they call the Lord's Day, the Sunday, the resurrection day, the day that delivered them the rest, the resurrection of Jesus, that guarantees their resurrection and their rest. So they said, well, let's get together on the Lord's Day. That's the new day to meet, and so that's gone into our world history now. Sunday has become broadly around the world, except some areas, Jewish, Islamic areas, as the rest day. There is something helpful, isn't there, for us as a nation, as much as possible, to rest together. I was all for Keep Sunday Special campaign. Well and truly lost that battle, didn't we? And now we live in an age where people work every day of the week. I also think there's something very helpful and significant for us as Christians to do, as much as we can, to take a rest day together, to celebrate together, to celebrate our rescue, to rest together, to look forward to glory together, to say corporately as God's rescued community, as his rescued family, we're people of rest and we're on our way to rest. And so I think it's important that we treasure these and we hold on to them as much as possible. But yeah, of course, some of us will have, I'm working now on Sunday. So we have to think through how we do that with shifts and the like. And perhaps we can talk about that in a moment. What is important is taking a rest day. People who take a rest day are making a wise use of what God's given in creation. and we'll be better for it. Christians, we take a rest day each week. We're saying we believe there's more to life than exams. There's more to life than work. There's more to life than this life. There's life to come. There's rest in heaven. We're actually saying we believe in heaven. We're citizens of the world to come. If we don't take a day off each week, it may well be possible that we don't believe in heaven at all. And what we're really saying is all that we think is important is the here and now. You see, the patterns that we have in our lives, day by day, week by week, actually tell us what we believe in our hearts. So it is a command that we need to listen carefully to, get balance in our lives. There's this phrase which has come really about, I really, really discovered actually in the last 10 years, it may have been around before then, time paupers. Time paupers are hard to spot because more often than not, every other part of their life seems to be going really well. They have high standards of living, and those they love have every material need provided. If they have children, they get expensive presents at birthdays and Christmas. They get pretty good pocket money and allowance in between. It goes without saying that they attend some good schools. What makes them a time pauper is even hard to spot is that often they provide a very high level of leisure activities. The family goes to nice annual holidays. They may even have a second home, and they may all be members of a local fitness club. It all looks very good. They look rich, nice car, big house, exotic holidays, and what looks like a big salary. But do the maths, count how many hours they do at work and the salary compared to how much they really do in terms of the working hours, and you realise it's not that high at all. Here's some comments from time pauper families. Here's a son in a time pauper family. Mum, why is Dad always late home? To which the mum says, well, it's because he can't finish all the work he's got in normal time. To which the boy says, why don't they put him in a slower class? Or there's a one-time pauper's wife to her husband. I'm happy for you that your work is going so well. I just think you should know that you've become the most boring man I know. That's true. Someone actually said that to the husband. Here's another time pauper's wife. This is true too. Andy and I were so in love when we got married. It's hard to know when we really grew apart. His job became more and more demanding. He came home so tired he could hardly say hello, let alone tell me about his day or be prepared to be interested in mine. I hated it. And then the years went by, a strange thing happened. I learned to live without him. It was as if something inside said, you're on your own. For your sake and the kids' sake, face it and learn to live with it. And one day I realized I didn't love him anymore. The voice I'd longed to hear, I now hated. He must have sensed this because, incredibly, he then wanted to talk. But it was too late. It was over. What are we? Time pauper? Time pauper in training? Or rescued, heaven-bound? I acknowledge I'm a spiritual pauper, but I'm heading for the riches of heaven through Christ.